There are two appearances of the Archangel Gabriel in the New Testament, and the other one is Zechariah. It's interesting to compare. 6 months earlier, the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah while he's offering a sacrifice in the temple. He was a priest, and there were so many of these priests that they had a lottery system, and his number came up, perhaps the first time in his life that he was actually able to go inside the temple and change the incense out before the Holy of Holies. So he's doing his temple duty as a priest. Would have been a very, very rare and special occurrence for him. And while he's in there, the Archangel Gabriel appears to him. Just like Mary, you know, one's 16 years old, the other one is very elderly, perhaps as old as, 55 or something like that. But the dialogue is almost the same also. You know, he says, I have come to bring you good news. Your wife Elizabeth is going to conceive and you're going to bear a son, and he will be John, a prophet, mighty in word and deed. And Mary has the same conversation. They say the same thing. How can this be? Must be the tone of voice, because Zechariah says something along the lines of, how can this be? Because I'm an old man and my wife, well, it's been a long time, you know. That sure didn't come out right. Stop the tape. A little editing is in order here. Thank you. Okay. My, it's hot in here. Someone turn on the fans, please. So, the Archangel Gabriel responds to Zechariah. I can almost see the body language, and this is what he says. I am the Archangel Gabriel who stands before the throne of the Almighty God. You know, it's like, can you imagine sassing an angel? He says, you know, he's seeing the angel in front of him. He doesn't doubt that the angel's there. He just doesn't doubt. He doubts that God can do this. And this is very offensive to God. God is not stopped by this lack of belief. John is going to come, but Zechariah is punished with laryngitis for 9 months because that's where he sinned, in his mouth. And you know, between the two of them, I much more relate to Zechariah, probably because I keep getting laryngitis in my life. No doubt a result of sins, but although you'll notice I haven't had it in 4 years, knock on wood. But Mary, on the other hand, equally asks a pointed question. She says, how can this be? And this comes after the angel has said, he says, I have come to bring you such great news. You're full of grace and full of favor with God. You're going to give birth to the Son of the Most High God. And his reign will never end. But she's deeply troubled and afraid. The fear we can understand. She's troubled because she's made a commitment to God. She is not planning to have children. This is a vow that she and Joseph have taken. And now God is coming and seeming to contradict this. This is why she asks a very pointed biological question. I do not know man. And she knows perfectly well what she's asking. The question comes up, then, how do we know the will of God? This is a very good question, because most of us do not have the angel Gabriel to come and announce the will of God. And yet, I'm reading a spiritual reading book right now called Abandonment to Divine Providence. And the author's basic thesis is every moment of our lives is like the Archangel Gabriel coming to announce the will of God. If we only had the eyes to see it. I don't preach with notes, but I have this here because I was writing my column. I did it early this week because I had six penance services this week, two school ones and then all the other ones, and so it was a really long week. And Wednesday I got up and I had one of these days that was just
unbelievable. The only thing that didn't happen, the bed didn't collapse or something, but other than that, I had a wrong number that got me up early, and, you know, so I started out the day with a quart low in the crankcase, and I was cranky, you know. So there I am with 1 hour's less sleep, and I got up, and I thought, gee, it's awful cold in here. The furnace had stopped working. So we got that going, and guy came out 4 times, but we got it working. Then I went into the kitchen and opened the refrigerator. In there I had put, it was a bag of raspberries that I was defrosting. As it defrosted, the bag had a hole in the bottom. The refrigerator was covered from top to bottom with gooey raspberry stuff, all the way down to the produce department. That was fun cleaning up. What else happened here? My cell phone decided it would no longer ring or vibrate. Calls would just simply appear. If I wasn't looking at it, I wouldn't get those calls. And I had an important call I was looking for. And I said, so Lord, have I not done enough penance services for you? See, Zechariah's coming out, and I'm thinking, how can this be? You know, this is not the way Mary reacts. And then finally, after all of this, I'm doing communion calls. I was in South Salem. I had, a penance service down there, and then did a communion call in the area. And I saw this sale on, this was on Tuesday, I saw this sale on dishes. The rectory has like 5 sets of dishes and nothing matches. One set doesn't even fit in the cupboard. So I got them for 60% off, right? I got half of them down at this end of Fred Meyer, and the other half was in South Salem. They called ahead and they said, yeah, we got 4, and they held them for me. And I got 40% off, had a 10% coupon. And then when I got up there, they said, and would you like your senior discount, sir? I said, do I look like I deserve one? You know, anyway, so I got a senior discount. Well, I am eligible for it there. And so I got home. What I had was 6 boxes of square dishes and 2 boxes of round ones. I had to go back to Fred Meyer in South Salem the week before Christmas and return those dishes. And somehow, all of that was the will of God. No, he wasn't sitting in heaven plotting on how to get me, you know. But on the other hand, look at Mary's life. We know how this turned out. The angel does not say to her, "Hail, full of grace, you're going to give birth to the Son of the Most High. He will be crucified while you sit under his feet and watch him die." He doesn't say that to her. She's suspicious. She knows there's going to be trouble. She knows she doesn't know the whole thing. He won't tell her. He's not going to tell her. Only gives her what she needs at that moment. He doesn't say he's going to be rejected. He doesn't even say, "I'm not going to tell Joseph until he wants to divorce you." That one always gets me. It got to him filing divorce papers before God enlightened him. To me, that's an unnecessary suffering. Why did God permit that? She didn't know any of this. And we don't either. We don't know why these things happen. But it's essential that we go through them, that we say yes to God in these small, admittedly, all these things are very minor things when you look at the scheme of life. You can probably top my story for this week, many of you. Some of you are going through very serious problems, but all of these things prepare us. How do I say yes to the will of God? Each of these things, if you will, is like the Archangel Gabriel appearing with the will of God. Whenever I'm doing 2 weddings this week, and they're both small weddings, but as you, especially when a couple is getting married for the first time, or a priest being ordained, they take the vows, you know, for richer and for poorer, for sickness and health. Most of you have either been there or will be there or have been there. We don't know what's coming. We'd like to know the future, but it's better that we don't know. That's the way life is. I didn't know what was going to happen when the bishop put his hands on my head. I'd like to have known. It was better that I didn't, though. If we knew in advance what God had in mind for us, would we take that first step? I wonder sometimes. But we don't know for a reason. One of the most powerful talks I ever heard in my life, I mentioned a number of times, was I was at a charismatic convention in 1978. I just graduated from college. I was my 1 year as a monk, and I was sitting there in a religious habit. And Mother Angelica comes and talks to this group. Nobody had ever heard of her before. I'd never heard of her. She had this ministry of printing pamphlets. And she's still a young, relatively young nun then. And she had two lines I'd never forgotten. One of them, you probably heard, unless you're willing to do the ridiculous, God cannot do the miraculous. And then the other thing she said was, God almost never reveals the whole path, but only the first step, because if he did, we wouldn't take that first step. She said, I'm going to share with you that I have this vision of starting a television station. Everybody laughed and laughed. I thought, that's ridiculous. With us, God asks that we trust him. Sometimes it's the wrong set of dishes, but other times it's something very serious. And with Mary, this was no laughing matter, you know. She was asked something very, very serious. Her response was filled with grace, but she asked questions. If you are struggling with the will of God, don't be afraid to ask questions. God has made you a free human being. We're not robots. We are entitled to ask God questions. He's not afraid of that. She says yes at the end, though. She has not lost her faith. She just questions. We too are going to ask questions. But don't be surprised if God does not answer you the way you expect. He doesn't tell Mary the suffering that she is going to have. Only the next step. So today we ponder the will of God for our lives. Every moment of our lives, if we have the eyes to see it, is as if it were the Archangel Gabriel coming to announce the will of God for this moment. The will of God is my response to the trial or the blessing of the present moment. This is where all of grace and all of life begins and ends. Once we see life that way, life is never the same again.